We are here on the floor of the Performance Racing Industry Trade Show with Steve Kinzer, and Steve just making the announcement that 2014 will be his final season at the World of Outlaws on a full-time basis. Steve, how did the decision come about to make 2014 your last run at the 21st championship?
Well, I really think there's been quite a few things that's sort of made the decision. The biggest part of it is, you know, I just met earlier. I love the support. I think, you know, as I said earlier, a lot of the things is my body's telling me sometimes I can't make myself stay in the shape I need to be in to be competitive as I need to be. And as you get older, it just gets tougher every year. And you know, you don't want to sit there and just it's still tough for me to go out I'm so used to winning so many races and stuff, it's just tough to be just sort of to get out there and win three races a year. It's just not what I want to do, you know what I mean? And I don't know if your mind tells you you're still can get it out there and get the job done, and I think I can at times, but I don't think I can be near as consistent what I could be 10 years ago or something like that. But would it matter, I guess, if I do it another 5 years? I don't think so. I mean, I've been doing this since 75, so I've had a lot of years to race, and it's a hard situation for me, and especially announcing it makes it even tougher now, because I'm seeing, I realize that I'm not going to be driving race cars forever, so I don't know. I want to go out and have fun and not have all the pressure and stuff on me and just sort of enjoy this year. And not that I said, we're still going to work hard and try to win races. And who knows, maybe we can sneak out a championship. You never know what might happen.
You had a tough year last year, I guess, with the engine issues throughout the year. Did you guys finally get that figured out? And how much more motivation is there for you this year to go out and get that 21st track or 21st championship?
Well, we'd definitely like to be – would like to think that we would be a little more competitive than what was last year. And we did have a lot of problems. And you know, we have nobody to blame but ourselves, because Tony allows us to do what we – he gives me the freedom to run my – own motor program and things like that, and it's hard for us to compete when you got a guy building your motors is also your crew chief out on the road and things like that. Now, even though we do get a lot of feedback from Ronnie Shaver and Paul Kissler, they help us a lot, and they would go out of their way to help us, but you know, it's we sort of enjoy doing it ourselves. It's something that's probably helped us in the years, and times it's probably hurt us too.
What was it like to watch being grown up here in Indiana and watch your dad race? And what kind of advice did dad give you when you first started racing on your own?
I don't know. I mean, I watched him make so many laps. I remember the first time I went out to qualify, he said, son, it's simple, just go out and make a nice, smooth, clean, fast lap. And it sounded simple to talking about it, but it's just not quite that easy sometimes. But he was definitely a hero of mine, watching him race. And I watched him so much, do so many things. I knew exactly what he was going to do when he came to a situation. And I loved racing. I grew up around it and always wanted to race cars, and thank goodness I got the chance to do it.
What was it like in the early days of the World Outlaws with Ted Johnson, and did you ever think all these years later you guys would be where you're at today with Ted's vision?
No, we didn't. You know, Ted came to us and he said he wanted $50. He was going to start some kind of a point thing when I was down on his Devil's Bowl, and I was actually in a red 86 car there running the first race there, and then those days were fun for me. I loved it because, you know, we'd run half of races with wings, half without, sort of promoter's choice for the first, I think we started doing it, stopped doing that in maybe 83 or something like that. But me growing up, especially in this area and stuff, about all the races was non-wing racing, and that's what I started racing and what I raced with and always enjoyed it. Then sort of the World of Outlaws started paying a little more money, and it got to where, as a driver, you could actually afford to buy a house, afford to have a little bit of a family, be able to pay some bills and have a few things. And it was a good way for me to make, turned into a good way for me to make a living. I couldn't have been any more perfect. You know, like I said, timing was just right to get a, probably with one of the fastest race cars there was out there when I got hooked up with Carl Kinzer, probably one of the best guys, or if not the best guy to chassis man to watch all around program. He was as good as anybody and definitely work as hard. And the same thing with Scott. There's nobody that, and everybody in this sport does it. Don't get me wrong. There's these people, these mechanics and these crew chiefs are all devoted people, and they all work really hard in any type of racing. And I guess that's true in any sport there is. But to be able to make a living and do what you want to do and see all the stuff and have the opportunities to do all the things I've did, I'll be able to go to different countries, get to be able to fly the Blue Angels. There's so many different things. I've been able to go around the Daytona 500. I've been able to go around Indianapolis, a lot of different things. But, you know, sprint car racing has always been my bread and butter, and that's always been my love. I didn't have chances to run to go to Indianapolis 500s, even though I grew up 60 miles from here. I think the first time I was ever at one was when I was in it. I never even went and seen a race other than on TV. You know what I mean? I mean, there was a lot of times I went up during a week and got to watch the practice days. '70s and stuff like that, but maybe even the '60s and stuff, but never even got to see a race. And like I said, the only one still I've seen is the one I ran in. So, got to see a lot of good sprint car drivers and a lot of great race drivers over the years.
In your opinion, who would be some of the best sprint car drivers that you had the opportunity to race against?
Well, you know, it's definitely, you know, we got to start out in some of the earlier years, you know what I mean, as far as the wing cars and non-wing cars back with the World of Owls I ran, you know. Definitely me and Doug and Sammy was pretty well dominated those years. Rick Ferkel was right in there with us for first part of the years. And then all the Pennsylvania guys, you know, I've seen a lot of different guys come from in and out of there, you know, when I went over to Lynn Paxton and Smokey Snellbaker and then Steve Smith Sr. and all those guys, and then go through other traditions, other generations of drivers, and watch Donnie prep. Put a lot of, I mean, Donnie ran a lot of gears before he started putting things together really good, and you know, he's pretty well dominated the sport for the last 4 or 5 years. He's been a consistent guy there has been, and he paid his dues though. I mean, he had to watch me and Sammy and all those guys win a lot of races before he started winning his share of them, and it's really competitive right now, and And there's a lot of deep fields, and you know, everybody likes different things. I mean, I used to love the days when they had when you had three tire companies in there competing with each other, and you could run sort of build whatever kind of motor you wanted to build. It wasn't really, I mean, we still had a cubic inch limit back in, but you could do about what you wanted, there's a lot of. Today's world is a lot different. It's just changed a lot. You know, there's CNC machines. Everything's machine made. You don't get to really do some of the own labor work to lighten things down, and it all comes there. All the parts are the same. It's all available over the counters. Everybody just makes so many good parts now, and all the motor builders got great motors, and it's. A lot of good drivers that spend a lot of time, and there's drivers right now that's been out there a long time still yet, just like Paul or somebody McMahon. I mean, and having some of the best years he's ever had, and so you know, you can still do, even though, you know, he's still quite a bit younger than me, but it's nice to see guys like that's paid their dues still finally get rewarded for some of the things they've done, all the hard times they put in.
You mentioned Central PA, and we had two drivers retire this year in Fred Raymer and Keith Coppin, both tremendous drivers. But you also have had tremendous success when you've come to Central Pennsylvania, arguably the toughest weekly sprint car racing area in the country. How did you guys come away with that much success over the years against the Pennsylvania Posse?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's the same thing. You know, we come in with good race cars, and there's been times where I think our equipment when we come in here has been as second to none, you know what I mean, which will make you run. And when you go to Williams Grove, you better have everything together, because those guys are as good as there is on that racetrack, and all the people, the motor builders around that area, and everybody that I mean, there's been a lot of good people that made Pennsylvania to do that. I mean, a lot of good car owners, with Weichert and Hamilton and those guys that sort of set a mark for some good things. And you know, I remember the first time I went out with my dad out there. We used to go out there. I think they ran a 75 lap, or maybe it was even a 100 lap race at Williams Grove or something. And we stopped at Lynn Paxton's place, and we sort of snickered at his car until we left there, and none of us snickered at it when we left, because I think he ran like second to Williams Grove, went down that night that Lincoln, and might have run in the top three or so again, and that's when my dad came over. They had pretty good equipment. They had Travis sprint cars with Traco motors in them from California, and it was about as good as it got right then. And it's about as, and those guys, was no matter what era it was, they've been a lot of good race teams, and thank goodness Tony's helping me continue to race right now, or I probably couldn't get out and get the sponsorship and continue to run up and down the road the way I'm doing. And a lot of good friends. When you got friends come out and offer you to do stuff to try to help you and things like that with Tony and Tony Stewart Racing and stuff. I'm fortunate to have that opportunity, I guess, to be able to continue racing a little bit. But I want to be competitive for him too, you know, for whoever my car owner is and myself and everything else. And I could probably settle in and be happy, I guess, making all the races and running in the top 10 or 15, and you know, but it's not what I'm used to. And I just hope I don't go out and have a real good year is all I can say. No, I really want to have a good year. Don't get me wrong. I really want to run really good no matter what, especially being my last year. But you don't know how bad I would like to run good.
So just to clarify then, this is the final year for you for the chasing the points, but you're leaving open the possibility that 2015, maybe you still might do a race here or two, and you also talked about possibly owning a race team. Can you shed a little bit of light on that?
Well, I hope I continue having a race team or at least a partnership with a race team or something, you know what I mean? I don't know what I would do after this year. That I really can't tell you. I've always told myself I probably, if I couldn't compete 100%, I would not run. Now, whether I could change my mind on that or not, I wouldn't want to tell everybody that I am going to quit and come back out and race 10 or 15 races. I'm pretty sure it won't be over that, and it'll be areas a little closer to home and things like that. Not that I don't mind traveling, I'm used to doing it, but that's what I was wanting to do this year. I was wanting to run a limited schedule, and I talked to Tony and my wife, and none of them thought it was quite fair that I didn't give everybody a chance to let them know that it's going to run one last competitive thing. And I think the World of Outlaws, the World Racing Group, it's nice to see that they're supporting me on this, and they wanted to have the opportunity to do something for me by being the last 4 years, and so I think it's the right thing to do. You know what I mean? I think probably just not even come out and just run. I ran 50 races or 40 or 50 races, which Tony told me was not a problem. He would do that. You know what I mean? So. He also thought maybe it'd be fun to run, say it was going to be our last year's, maybe run some retro paint schemes for some different stuff, or you know what I mean. We might pop a Coors Light car out there or something like that, or a Valvoline, or you never know what we might come out and run or something. And that's just been stuff that's been talked about, whether we do it or not, we don't know, you know. But I'm sure there'll be a few retro body schemes out there, and just to have some fun and let the fans let me thank them and them thank me and back and forth and whatever.